Dan Bernstein, Lawrence Holmes, middays 10 to 2 on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
How do you guys as a defense stay sharp, knowing that you're probably not playing in Kansas City, but you've got 3 weeks left?
Who said we're not playing in Kansas City? That's what they said.
Okay. Got to find out somehow. Sometimes you find out from reporters. That's Tez, the Tez effect, the beast, Montez Sweat. He's got so many nicknames. And I guess Matt Eberflus is able to just, you know, wield the magic scepter and keep dubbing you with various nicknames whenever he wants. You can change him at any time. Herbie the Love Bug. Okay. Who is that? Who was Herbie the Love Bug? Did he say? Did you know that what player that was?
I didn't.
Was it Khalil Herbert?
That's what I was thinking, yeah.
Oh.
Hey, you guys can ask Matt Eberflus all about his nicknaming on Friday, 12:25.
I got a lot of questions for him. A lot of questions. Most of them are stemming from this recent Hard Knocks episode. Some are not, but most of them are. The nickname
what, from
thing,
the recent Hard Knocks thing has got you wanting to ask Flusie about.
Ooh, well, first of all, Lawrence, let me tell you, I'm on my last page of my notebook. So that's a new chapter has to begin soon. I think number one, did you hear him talk about the 48-hour preparation?
Yes.
I'm like, what is that? I need to know more about this. When you say that, what do you mean? I think additionally, I do like that his daughters are in the show because I'm a woman who talks about football. So I would like to ask him about that. The origins of the glow up. I thought that was pretty neat. I'm trying to think of what else that I have for him. I have a separate list. And then I think also, to me, just who he thinks he is this year based on who he was when he started this job. Like, that's a big one for me.
Yeah, I have a question that's kind of parallel to that last one that you mentioned that I want to talk with him through. Because I think that he made a connection with this team when he started calling plays again.
And I also think I would like to explore the balance between being in the weeds like that and being a capable enough CEO.
And Kevin Fishbane wrote a great article talking about Eberflus's happiness of going over tape with players and the teaching aspects. And I also think that that is something that we can build on and discuss with him because, again, these are all things that are really good. And we haven't really gotten to see them much ourselves until recently. So I feel like all of that is I feel like all of that is worth discussing.
Yeah, the granular tackling stuff about securing the hamstring tackle, about which way to kind of gator roll in a direction of the line of scrimmage, that the physics of it were really interesting. And the way Fishbane described Eberflus getting in the stance and being, we've all been there. We've all been in a coach's office where they can't help themselves. It's what they do. And they start moving you around and say, well, you're over here and your head is here and you can't go over here until this person goes here. And that's because they're coaches. It's by nature.
And did you guys see the point where he's talking about where a foot needed to
yes.
be pointed in the tackle? Like, I thought that was, again, this is stuff for us. Like, I know we like talking about this. We find this interesting, but I just wonder how much a typical Hard Knocks viewer does. I can't separate it right now because I love that minutia. I need it to figure out who this team is.
Yeah, and it also gives you a glimpse into the mind of how important some of the technique stuff is, where often, like, we're able to talk about it when we're talking about, like, a receiver where the cut is at 12 and a half, not at 13. And the difference, that half yard doesn't seem like it makes a world of difference, but considering the timing mechanism of the play, it could make the difference between a catch out of bounds for a first down or a pick six going the other way. So learning like what those some of those small things are, I think is a great thing.
Oh, it's like what Olin Krutz does often when he breaks down offensive line play or gives you some video tips on Twitter where he'll say, look at where this guard's head is
mm-hmm.
on this zone block, or look at what the center is being asked to do to come across a gap and reach block, and showing you that if this is ill-timed, everything breaks down.
Well, and also go back to the tape where, unfortunately, you know, they get eaten up by Cleveland in the fourth quarter. But he says, well, there's supposed to be an interception on that play. That brain we got to see in this last episode, like why he's saying that. You saw he like called for the interception and he knew what would happen if everybody was in their spots.
That's one. We need two more.
Right. And listen, I mean, be greedy. The likelihood of that happening in an NFL game, I still argue with. You know, that's something where I'm saying, okay, you've got to understand your opponent might not have that happen.
Like, yeah, but that was some old Lovie Smith stuff, though.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Layla. Like, that was the win, the turnover battle. And if you're plus three, then you have a 92% chance of winning the game.
No doubt. Absolutely. But you also have to look into likelihoods of your opponents, too. Like, just because you're a pitcher hitting your spots doesn't mean you're always throwing at 99. You know, if you throw at 97 and you hit your spot, that ball might be out of the yard.
I'm just saying that I think that it's probably the goal. Like, I think they walk in with, because that was the goal for Lovie's teams. And, you know, it's a similar defense, if not the same. Their goal was to be plus three. And then he made mention of it in the post game where he was saying we were plus one in turnover. So I think that's what he meant by that. Like, I think it was him trying to be like, hey, our goal every game is that we are plus three. So we got to keep making plays,
yeah,
defensively. We got to keep trying to turn people over.
Nothing wrong with that, in my opinion. And I also like the fact that he's blitzed more. Like, I mean, there's a lot we can discuss. Like, even just what we saw on Saturday with the creative blitzing, Kyler Gordon being the recipient, I loved it all.
Here's Eberflus on the plan for Thursday.
The majority of the starters will not play in that game. We feel really good about our process, the plan that we've had, in terms of the range of plays for certain players, the range of competitive reps, we feel really good about that with our joint practices and going ones on ones the entire time. So we feel really good where we are there. And again, we got a day to day that's a padded practice stud, and we're going to get after it pretty good today on first, second, and third down. And it's going to be a good practice today.
What's the focus of the plan when you have 20-some days between Thursday night and the starters obviously not playing and then week one?
It's really three things. You know, number one is to stay in condition. You know, we got to stay in condition because we practice really hard and, you know, we got to maintain that conditioning level. That's got to be the key. Maintain your fundamentals through drill work, through teamwork. That's got to stay sharp because that's what wins football games, you know, and then stay healthy. And that's really getting to the first game the best way we can. And we have a really good plan in place for that. I know it's a lot longer time than it's been in the past, but we feel really good about the process.
And we'll get to be watching it on one screen of a certain size, I'm sure, at the world's largest sports book at Circa. Next
Darn,
up,
we have to watch it at the sports book with other sports.
And it shouldn't be an issue because it's a national game, so you guys shouldn't have an issue finding it.
Oh, good.
That means I can probably watch it at the pool, too. Darn. It's going to be tough.